I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, aka Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com, aka Le Grand Papa B, aka Gaston Lucien Lebanon. Today's episode has been recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 22nd, 2025. Getting close to July, ain't we? Eh? Getting close to July. All right. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, Nazab, motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast was definitely not meant for you. Before I start, let me give a quick shout out to all you listeners. This is a tradition we do on this podcast, and we start out by me asking you to applaud yourselves. Hercules, Hercules. And if this is your first time listening to this podcast, welcome. Find yourself a seat, make yourself comfortable. There's free coffee in the back and some tea. And yeah, here's hoping that I say something in this episode that allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. So again, let the spirit take you. Reminder that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. Remember, you play. This is my way of saying by you pressing play, you consent to the fact that this is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue. Rouge et bleu, motherfucker. Today's episode, titled 276. Not sure yet. As in, I'm not sure what to what the title's about. I was just listening to the Formation by Beyonce, and I like the verse, I like my Negro nose with Jackson 5, I might just make it Negro nose with Jackson 5 nostrils. And essentially today's topic in a feature thought will be being black. Being black. It's just something I wanted to share, a thought I wanted to share with you about the black experience, or about being black. But before we do that, we're going to start off with some quotes and some randomness. All right, so buckle up. Yeah, today's temperature is hot. Jerry Curl alert! Sorry, I just finished watching that clip in Do the Right Thing. Samuel Jackson. You had to be there. You had to be there. All right, okay. Quotes. Let's start with some quotes. Okay, first one goes. Excuse me. To be honest, most quiet people are actually very talkative. Excuse me. Talkative people who learned the hard way that it's not safe to be everybody's friend. Oh, man. I had an extra thought to add to that, but you know what? I'll let it marry it on its own. And the last quote, which will connect to today's feature thought, it goes, I am dripping melanin and honey. I am black without apology. Shout out to Upil Chisela. Chisela. Goddamn English word. Yeah. Upil? Let me make sure I'm pronouncing that right.
Well, my name is Upil Chisela.
Oh, I guess it's Upil Chisela. Upil Chisela. Damn. Yeah. Jesus. All right, well, yeah. Well, shout out for that quote. All right. That's it for quotes. Let's jump into some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right, okay. Yeah. I don't like starting randomness after mispronouncing someone's name or being unsure. It fucks with the mood. But it is what it is, man. It's okay. All right, B, so, go Eastern yourself. Okay, so first bit of randomness. Being we're speaking about blackness, I guess I should say a happy belated Juneteenth, so June 19th, Juneteenth, get it? Oh, whatever. And the reason I'm taking the time to acknowledge Juneteenth, shout out to my Black Americans, is because my timeline was blessed with people celebrating Juneteenth. And I am going to, I'll tell you what, I'm going to play some of them here, right? First one, first one.
Happy Juneteenth, it's a black ass day. Do what your black ass want in a black ass way. Have some black ass food, have a black ass drink, and I don't care what your non-black ass think.
content creator is, gift from Todd. Oh, that's beautiful. Love that name. You know what? Follow. Okay. Next one is white people clock in, and it's for my sister, Jessie Wu, comedian Jessie Wu. I think she's more than a comedian, but I just like hearing her speak. But this one here got my attention. Here we go. I'm just trying to unmute this stupid thing. God damn.
Attends-moi. Ça veut dire, joujou petite ça. Why people get the day off too? Hey! Gardons kaka, messieurs, kaka poye. Ça veut dire, gros joujou petite ça. The white people are not at work. Why are you not at work? Go back to work. Clock in. Go back to the fields. This day is not for you. Joune, ça c'est pas pour lié. If you're white, go to work. Pour qui ça, you think you're not supposed to be at work on Juneteenth? C'est pas pour lié. C'est pour black Americans lié. C'est pour black people seulement. C'est pas pour nous. Go back to work. If you are white people, go back to work. Je dis ya. Al travail. Al chercher travail pour nous faire. This is not your day. It's not for you. It's for the black Americans. Go back to work. Fais vite.
Message.
I think I love the fact that she said it in Creole. I feel blessed for understanding Creole. May not speak it that well, but I can't explain it. There's something about the way she expressed herself. Go back to work. All right. Okay. Now, the real reason why I'm acknowledging Juneteenth is because what really caught my attention, and I should mention, everything that the links are in the show notes to what I'm referring to or what I just played, but is there's another clip about Juneteenth celebration in Harlem, and it's just black people enjoying themselves, having a great, like a lot of black people enjoying themselves. And it reminded me of, it's going to sound weird, but how much I enjoy looking at black people, black folks. It's a weird thing to say, but for me, it's a big deal because I grew up in white spaces. I grew up being the one black kid in a sea of white people. You know what I mean? It's like a fly in milk. You know what I mean? A puck on ice. Kidding aside, I grew up in my formative years. I grew up with the notion that black people, we were the others. We were the minority. So I was used on the only black people I would see are my relatives or at church. Remember, during my formative years. So it was natural for me to grow up with this idea that we are just, fuck geography. I'm young. I don't know this shit. So, but I remember when I would go to, like, let's say New York, Montreal, Toronto. And, it actually even hit me last time I've been to Haiti or Jamaica. Places where a high black population. And I remember noticing all these black faces, and I'm just like in awe. Not just in awe, but I would just like, I can't explain it, man. There's a beauty, and not like I'm not staring like a scientific experiment. It's just the internet. Look, I think the introvert in me just likes people watching, but my favorite kind of people watching is black folks. Like a dopamine hit. But I'm thinking about this one time. I was first time we were in New York, and I'm in the back seat, and I'm noticing beside us there's a car with four black dudes in there, and I start staring. One dude notices me, puts his hood on, and then what the fuck? And then I remember my instinct say, you know what? I should stop doing that. By the way, yes, I. Oh man, I'm going for memory lane. I'm thinking about the first time I ever went into a club, a black club, and beat would go on, and for some reason I felt weird at the fact that everyone was dancing on beat. Everyone. If there was an exception, I couldn't see them, but it was just like, it's like they were moving to the same drum beat, and it was just something. I don't know if I'm gonna use. I lack the words to express what I felt inside, but it was like a rush. And yeah, and don't get me started on the reggae. Oh my God, the girls. Okay, calm down. All right, okay. But yeah, happy belated Juneteenth, and here's to more years of happiness for black folks. Hang in there. Life is tough. Okay, you know, this should probably go in these two entries. Juneteenth, happy belated Juneteenth, black folks, happy black people, and my gratitude journal. But the second one I'm bringing up is another thing that blessed my timeline. Maybe this should be a segment. Blessing my timeline is comedians joking about the Latino vote in the States, you know, Latinos voting for Trumps, the Latinos for Trump folks. And links are in the show notes. You can watch it yourself. I'm not going to play it, but you can let you enjoy it on your own. Godfrey, he's got a joke about Trump on ice, and Sydney Castillo. Fuck, it's hilarious. and it's not like there's a balance of both. There's a balance of y'all fucked up with, well, Sydney Castillo hits on that, right? It's like, yo, it's not hatred, but we're goddamn. We're mad. The same, you know, this goes out. It's not just the Latinos, but it's any non-white person who played themselves, who forgot that, oh, no matter how much I try to switch, they throw me back. I am not one of them. They not like us. They not like, anyway, whatever. Okay. All right. Okay. So blessed by timeline. Next bit of randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
I can't remember what inspired the thought. It must have been how I reacted. But I need to stop giving props. I need to stop giving kudos or any form of acknowledgement to men who've conned their way, who've conned some pretty woman into believing that they're worth a damn. And what I mean by that is specifically as in my unenlightened days or during my toxic male days, still struggling with it, but it was common. The bro code is if you saw a man walking with a pretty woman and they were together, you had to give them props. I still remember I had a female friend. And she was super hot. And just walking with her, people would be like, is this your girl? And, you know, she wasn't. But they assumed that she was my girl. And then, okay, well, you must be doing something with your right for you to be with someone like that. You know what I mean? It's like we automatically, like a guy automatically gets, it's like some kind of accomplishment that some pretty woman is right beside you. Now, I am criticizing toxic male culture, but but the real part that I really want to acknowledge is all those times I've seen a guy with a woman And I was like, I feel sorry for the woman. I knew he was toxic. I knew he was a problem. I knew there was something wrong with that guy. But, you know, you don't even think about that shit. You know, you're automatically, like, I'm thinking of, I'm thinking of using as a link to this segment. Because usually when I, on my show notes, I usually link every topic. I'm thinking of using Weinstein. There's a picture of Weinstein with some supermodel who I imagine is his girl. And it's not about the idea of ugly men being with pretty women. It's more the idea of the men out there who ain't shit, who are terrible partners, who are terrible candidates for, like, if we could put a sign saying, like, red flag, this dude is a red flag. I'm talking about all those men who are walking red flags, but their only skill is conning people into believing that they're worth a damn, that they're trustworthy, that they, that you can take them at their word, that, you know, that they're a potential partner, and or they're not going to be the worst thing to happen to your life. Yeah. And bottom line is, stop doing that. It's an old habit. It's tough doing that. I guess it must have happened recently where I saw some dude with a girl and I said, yo, is that you? I must have said that. Is that you? And he was like, yeah. I'm like, yeah. Whatever. I might have given him thumbs up. But I remember thinking about that. I'm like, now, I can't remember if this guy was a red flag, but I do remember thinking, why the fuck am I giving him props for? He might fuck it up. I don't know this woman. She might be toxic. It might have been like, anyway, stop doing that. You know what I mean? Like, you don't get any props for, you know what? I'll stop elaborating. What else do I got?
So you're a philosopher?
Okay. So I, there's two thoughts into one. The first one is I used to hate when I was doing comedy or what, or not just comedy is when something's, it used to be a pet peeve. I want to emphasize, it used to be a pet peeve of mine that I would hate when shit was going on in the world and motherfuckers weren't talking about some, that's something that I felt was important. Instead, they were like promoting their, hey, look at a picture of me and my kids, or be on some vacation, or I want to promote my next show, or I want to promote, I want to promote my next talk about how you need to improve yourself, like irrelevant. And I felt like it was a sense of read the fucking room. I I'm realizing that I'm right now going to be guilty of doing that. I understand there's a lot of shit going on in the Middle East. We talk about it, but I just choose not to. Lately, when it comes to the Middle East, I've been having to like budget, limit how much of that shit I consume because protecting my mental health. Anyway, so I acknowledge that. But the real thing I want to say, yes, I know that the real thing I want to, I just posted this thought, right, is how every anti-Trump post on social media only makes me angry at the fact that he was elected a second time. you fuckers elected him a second time. Like, I'm tired. I can't watch The Daily Show anymore. Like, in the first term of Donald Trump, it was entertaining. I was using Daily Show, making fun of, oh, look at Trump doing something stupid, huh? Whatever, joking about, like, trying to use humor to, like, make light of the situation. Now, I fucking can't. I can't do it, mainly because it's the fucking second time. Second time y'all gave this asshole a chance. What did I post? I said, every anti-Trump post on social media only makes me angry at the fact that he was elected a second time. They allowed him to con them, Americans. Americans allowed themselves to be conned into believing that a woman would do worse than him. Happened with Hillary and happened with Kamala. I still remember when Hillary ran and people coming up with bullshit about Hillary. I'm like, focus, motherfucker, focus. So far, you haven't said anything that's worse than this guy. Well, whatever, man. That's it. Yeah. So, yeah, man. No, the anti-Trump, like, I'm on Blue Sky. God bless Blue Skies, but fuck. You know what? I guess what I'm saying is, at some point, it's got to get past complaining about them on social media. All right, okay. Let's move on. What else do I got? Okay, this last content is I tell you what, I'm just gonna play it before it's the last one. I'm just gonna play it, and I might make it a feature thought in a future episode. But it's just like this whole attempt at this a whole fake appeal at humanity here. I can't put it into words, but I'll let this content creator explain it better than I could. Her name is Sarah Sweeney. Continue, Sarah Sweeney, and commenting. You know what? I'll let her explain.
They're targeting a hospital. In this hospital, their patients are in mobile.
All right, I should explain. That's Netanyahu in the background.
Mobile. They can't even move. Right next to it is a children's ward, a baby's ward.
You attacked every hospital in Gaza. You held an illegal siege on the Al Nasser Hospital in Gaza, and your army at gunpoint forced the staff to abandon their patients, including 9 NICU children who were attached to machines that wouldn't even work because you prevented electricity and power from going into that hospital. Those children were left to die on their own. They starved to death. Dogs ate their bodies. When they went back, they found that insects had infested their corpses. And now you want to appeal to the humanity in people. Mm-hmm. I want to appeal to the humanitarian law that you dismissed when you held illegal sieges across every single hospital in Gaza, forcing thousands of people to die unnecessarily, to starve to death, to bleed to death, to go through surgery without anesthesia because you prevented aid from getting to them. When innocent mothers and children sought refuge inside and outside these hospitals, you bombed them. There are craters outside these hospitals where your bombs have left their mark. There are scorch marks in tents outside hospitals where you burnt men alive. Do you think that you can appeal to the goodness in us? That our humanity will sympathize with you and your people after you celebrated and rejoice in your own superiority for targeting defenseless women, defenseless children, defenseless men? The blood of every Palestinian, Israeli, and Iranian is on your shoulders. Fuck your hospitals.
Fuck your hospitals. Man, you wanted to be a monster, be a monster. I need to flesh out these thoughts. And yeah, I might reserve it for a future thought. But with that said, this concludes Quotes and Randomness. Now it's time for some future thought. But before we do that, boys and girls and everyone in between, let's take a quick break. Okay, okay, so today's random thought. Jesus Christ. No, feature thought. Okay, I'm going to cut these titles. The last word before I end this part, today's episode. I'm going to, I'll play this clip. It was, again, inspired by someone saying something smart on TikTok, and I will share my thoughts on what they say, or an attempt to compliment what they say.
This might not surprise anyone, but the black people who want to announce to the world that they are sitting this one out are the black people who treat our community, the black community, like a monolith. I was originally going to make a point about how the black people who are saying, oh, I'm sitting this one out, are probably the black people who didn't do shit to begin with. They're just like leeching off another black person's effort, saying, oh, see, you didn't listen to black women, you didn't listen to black people, therefore. Black people I'm speaking, I will find any reason to not give a fuck about someone, because it's not just a black person thing. It's a the world has done me dirty, therefore I think I'm justified in my cruelty type of mindset. A direct counterpart to the palm colored person who sees one black person who commits a crime, be like, see, they say broad generalizing statements like, oh yeah, Hispanic folk, they hate us, or Indians, they hate us, or they hate us. I'm like, black people don't even like black people. Like, if it don't apply, let it fly, because I love my people, but I'm gonna be real, y'all, there are some of y'all I do not like being around. So let's tune into the shade room, ass black people. Two men kissing is against the word of God, ass black people. That word got more than 3 to 4 syllables and you talk palm colored, ass black people. Nah, it'd be the same type of black people who try to find any sort of reason to excommunicate us from everyone else. Y'all cling to the rhetoric like, oh, black people are the only ones that we got. I'm like, are we? Are we really? A lot of y'all's definition of pro-black is very convenient. Black women, black queers, black trans, even black nerds. Like, y'all don't stick up for your own people. I'm not worried about these people announcing to the world, oh yeah, black people are sending this one out, because I guarantee that they're the dumbass motherfucker didn't do anything to begin with. I guarantee they're the ones who made the type of content be like, yeah, Michael LeBrand, I feel like he's got some demons behind his eyes. Black people want to be like, oh, happy man's mental health awareness month, but doesn't even mention pride. Well, let me take that back, because more than half the time, whenever y'all mentions men's mental health awareness month, you're going to mention pride in a condescending manner. So for those of you are saying that, oh, this group so-and-so doesn't like us, okay, I think the only reason you believe that is because it's the way that you look at your own people. You believe that this whole group doesn't like us because you don't see your group as individuals. It's always that black people aren't a monolith until this one person acts in a way in which I do not correlate as black, and more than half the time it's over something dumb. It is hardly ever actual politics of y'all whenever your definition of blackness comes up. It is always a cliche, which is how it's so easy for you to treat other people the same way. Have I met palm-colored Indians or Hispanic folk who are racist towards me? Hell yeah, I have. But as a black person, am I going to criticize the entire community based on the actions of a few? No, because I've had plenty of people do the same thing towards me. Talking about black people are going to sit this one out. Number one, you don't speak for the whole community. And number two, if you want to sit out, you have that option. That was always an option. How I know y'all don't do any of the work, because we've already discussed how peaceful protesting is more of a palm color thing because they're the human meat shields of the movement. How a lot of their access to generational wealth or community right off the bat allows them to do these sort of things. We've already talked about the people who work 40 plus hours a week don't need to protest if they can't. And this is how I know who y'all are. Y'all are the people who always got something to say. Why y'all so obsessed with boycotting? That shit don't work, and yet every corporation is here talking about new record all-time lows. Talking about, why don't you go talk about Congo instead of watermelon? You go check your profile, absolutely nothing on Congo. You are the direct counterpart to the fake palm-colored ally. Always want to chime in, always want to say something, and you're the best fit to be the leader just because you're born black. And here's another thing, just because you're born black doesn't mean you're automatically a revolutionary. Plenty of y'all's grandparents didn't do shit during the civil rights movement. Humble yourself. And this comes from someone whose grandparents were a bunch of Kunis Batunas Bible caresses. My thing is, if you ain't got nothing of substance to add, don't say anything. Because this is one of them things, one of the embarrassing moments where I'm not going to be standing with y'all. I am not about to be monolith or grouped together with y'all. No, sorry, no. Black people don't, motherfucker. We are not intellectual equals. Do not speak for me.
Bruh. Name of the content creator is Awkward Meister. Meister? Meister. Like, from Meister. Great name. Hold on a second. Follow. Yeah. This is my second time hearing this clip, and I'm not going to elaborate on what he said, because what he said was perfect. I'm just going to tell you what it made me feel, what it reminded me. It triggered a memory of when I was I used to be in a rap group called Total Darkness, and I also was in a rap group called Prophets of Rage. A lot of rage in there, and whatever. But there was a song we were working on, and never went anywhere, but I remember it was you ain't, did I don't know, did we really use the N-word back then? Hold on a second. I think it was called You Ain't Shit Nigga, or You Ain't Shit. Anyway, so the song was about okay, I don't think it was that deep, but I'm going to expand on the idea. But the song was about black people who are black out of sheer convenience. Just for the convenience. And the best way I can explain it, I don't have a word for it, but the best way I can explain it is the same way some of us will accuse, or we know that there's white people out there who love the culture but hate the people. And it hit me, there are black people who love the culture but hate the people as well. I'm thinking of a time where I can't remember what was the topic. It might have been Rodney King or something like that. And I was debating this black dude about why should I give a fuck? You know what I mean? Oh no, I think he said something like, oh, just because I don't give a fuck, I'm not black? Just because I don't care about what happened to Rodney King, I'm not black? And it had me thinking, I mean, sure, you're black. Sure, cops will call you the N-word and all that shit. But I guess in the end, it comes down to your definition of community and maybe, yeah, what your definition of blackness is. In my definition of blackness, it's not just about loving the culture, but it's also getting out the way. Either you're pro-black or getting the fuck out. Either you're leading, follow, or getting the fuck out the way. Don't be an inconvenience to black folks. At the bare minimum, to be part of this thing of ours, you need to not be a fucking inconvenience to the rest of us. to the movement. Like the motherfuckers who shot Malcolm X. You know, I'm just saying, okay, it's beyond inconvenience, but I'm saying, I think in my definition, to be part of my crew of black folks, yeah, you need to give a fuck. You need to be. Now, this brother, he was talking a lot of not just, I mean, he, there's probably a, there was a humanist level to what he was saying, but I'm going all over the place with this one. Okay, yeah, no, it's because I remember the debate between being pro-black and being pro-human. I'm leaning on the side of black folks who are also like humanitarians. I mean, you know, you look out for, you know, you look out for black folks first. You look out for your own, but yes. But there's also humanitarian, you know, taking time to give a fuck in general. Like, it's just in your DNA. And I remember talking about, like, our ancestors were original humanitarians because they were fucking humans. So the white man showed up. Oh, okay, so, sorry, excuse me. All right, focus, B. Going back, the reason I mentioned that song is because I remember adding a verse where it was dedicated to black women. Now, again, this is during my unenlightened days. There was an element of misogyny in that song because I think I was trying to be a little bit Tupac. You wonder why they call you bitch, something like that. There's something like there was probably a little bit of, but the reason I added that verse, you ain't shit, sis, something like that there. And it was more for, it was an observation of, and this was dedicated to, I'm watching my words here, the women in my circle, black women in my circle, who weren't really about the cause, who, well, looked like they were about the cause, but it didn't come from a place of love. Like, it was less about forming a community or being part of a community. It was more about, I've had bad relationships, so I am punishing the world for it. Like, it was immature. It was, there was a woman who I noted, I felt like, She would attack interracial couples, especially black men with white women. And she would attack them. She had no interest in these men. She didn't give a fuck. She didn't know shit about these dudes. But she did enjoy shaming some random black dude for dating some white woman. And in her mind, that's what being black was about. Whoa, hold on a second. Whoa, wait, hold on. Who's that nigga doing with this? Who's that fine ass man doing with this white woman? And it wasn't about, it wasn't about anything but being mean. That's it, being mean. And I think this goes into my level of you know, you ain't about the culture. You ain't about the people. Yeah, it was nothing about, there was nothing progressive about what she was doing. I'm going to add to it is, I noticed that, like, if you notice on, I tend to oscillate between my use, I said using the N-word and saying nigga. And one part is because I only started using the word, what I'm, there are black folks I've caught, black men who I've caught. They don't know, they don't give a fuck about the people. But they do love being able to say the N-word. Just dropping it. Nigga, 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 nigga. Sometimes, you know, I used to joke about how, but there's a bit of element of truth in there. I used to joke about how I can't tell when Drake uses the N-word. I can't tell if that's his white Jewish side or his black side saying it. And, but that's where he got in trouble because he was sponging. He's being a sponge to black American culture and not giving back. I think a lot of why Drake got in trouble, the diss tracks that Kendrick wrote, by the way, they weren't diss tracks. They were fucking, grievance. That was a fucking grievance. That shit was beyond a diss track. And it's not just, okay, I know I'm using Drake, but it's not just Drake. It's people who like enjoy the culture, but black folks can eat a dick. They don't give a fuck about the people. So yeah, that's it, man. I think if I could just sum it up, is this is meant to be an attack against black people, because we have it ourselves, black people who love the culture, embrace the culture, but hate the people. Ain't doing shit, ain't about the people. Now, I'm not saying you got to build a school or whatnot, but, you know, sometimes just shutting the fuck up, shutting the fuck up is a contribution, is helping the people. If you don't know what the fuck you're talking about, shut the fuck up. Like he said, anyway, yeah. So, shout out to the Awkward Meister for inspiring today's thoughts, and I guess I will wrap things up. Hey, before I continue, I want to bring up the fact that, what is it, 8:11? Not bad. Okay, all right, it's not that late. Now, usually I have this bad habit of recording an episode Sunday very late at night, and, you know, because it's the last thing I do, and then I'm like, but, yeah, I'm going to watch Gilded Age. What's Gilded Age? Google it. All right, okay, that's it. That's it for today. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed listening to this episode as much as I enjoyed recording it. It is heat. Now, you can't tell there's an air conditioner going in the background, but it's still fucking hot. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. And ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com. Just for tradition's sake. You know, when I feature thought, when I talk about shit, I'm not about giving you solutions. I'm just talking my shit. That's it. It's pretty much me just talking my shit. Why? Because it's my goddamn podcast. It's my goddamn podcast. My goddamn podcast is the theme. Should be like something I like to repeat and to remind myself. My goddamn podcast, all right? My goddamn podcast. Hey, why did you start with a verse that didn't make sense? Because it's my goddamn podcast. Why is the title not relevant to your feature thought? Because it's my goddamn podcast. All right. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu. Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé-Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. I don't know if I should mention, that's like a capital F. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.